And now, entering the studio, he hails from the Berg. Sometimes he starts in left field, goes right, and ends up in center. He is who he is, which is why he wants to know what you're waiting for. Brought to you in part by the Next Level Broadcast Media Group. Remember, you can always listen on your phone by dialing 323-693-3313. Strap in and get ready for the ride of your life with this segment of What You Waiting For Wednesday with EB.
Well, good evening and welcome to What You Waiting For Wednesdays with EB. I'm your host, EB, and we are once again pleasingly and pleasantly proud that you've taken some time out of your busy schedules on a Wednesday, hump day on the backside of hump day, to join myself on What You Waiting For, EB. As always, we are sponsored by the Next Level Broadcast Media Group, and make sure that you join in with some of my co-hosts as they host their shows. We have Miss Gina on Sunday nights at 7 p.m., 1 to 1, and then you flip over to Monday. We have Mr. Knight at 8 p.m. on the Underground Chop Shop, and then Miss Gina and Mr. Knight put it together on Coach to Coach, where they get together on Tuesdays at 8:30, and then always your boy on the hump day, carrying into the weekend. What You're Waiting For Wednesdays at 7 o'clock with me, EB. So we are have a great topic tonight, and thank you for those of you that have joined us. And I see many of you all that are jumping on the line right now. If you want to join us in the queue and you have questions tonight, make sure that you press 1 so that I have you in the queue tonight. And when the questions come available, we will definitely get to you tonight. But I am extremely excited tonight. We're going to talk about a subject that I know is really prevalent in our society. I know a lot of people stress out as far as it is concerned. It's the B word. We call it balance. And really being able to proverbially have that balance in our lives. And we have a great coach, an MVP chef tonight, Miss LaShante Williams. And read a little bit about LaShante as I set her up to bring her on. But LaShante brings a calm sensibility and vital energy in her surroundings. She is the MVP lifestyle chef who speaks and advocates for a wealthy and vital life-work balance with a passion for life, love, and laughter. After graduating from my alma mater at Florida A&M University with a Bachelor of Science in Accounting, she traveled the world extensively, devoting over 10 years as a career as a corporate internal auditor with companies such as Verizon, Internal Paper, and Federal Express. She also continued to pursue her interests as an athlete, model, community activist, and a businesswoman. In 2000, while planning for marriage and natural childbirth, LaShante decided to pursue a deeper interest in nutrition and holistic wellness, where she soon discovered that one way to achieve wellness was to intentionally focus on nutrition and begin her personal journey towards her purpose. And she later obtained certification in nutrition from Precision Nutrition and Life Coaching. She is passionate about wellness since her own body transformation, and she has hundreds of clients that she's changed their behavior patterns, helped to create healthy bodies and lifestyles. And in 2009, she established a Fresh Approach Lifestyle Consulting. And this is, she established that to provide a full range of nutritional solutions to clients through health coaching, personal lifestyle chef services, menu planning, catering, and professional speaking. Her approach is one that empowers others through simple mind, body, and soul solutions in preparing various cuisines with freshness and simplicity. LaShante specializes in using vibrant and unique flavors. She enjoys sharing her fresh approach to nutrition and wellness by really teaching others to prepare fresh foods in a healthy, nutritious, and delicious way, love and affirm themselves, and envision all the possibilities of life. And in the past 5 years, she served as a personal lifestyle chef to amazing, talented, and successful entrepreneurs, professional athletes, and big-time executives. And in addition, LaShante has had the privilege of teaching nutrition classes in conjunction with the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Program. She has been featured in the Southwest Now magazine. You know that magazine that you find in the back of your seat if you fly Southwest. She has written numerous articles and award-winning Dallas South blog articles, and really has been featured in the second edition of Who's Who in Black Dallas, and she has created the MVP Factor program at LaShantaeWilliams.com. Make sure to check that out, LaShantaeWilliams.com, to expand her vision and movement, where she shows clients who struggle with weight, nutrition, mental blocks, how to create bodies and lifestyles that they love. She serves on many different capacities, one being the Village Co-op, which I know she's proud of, which is a movement that embraces and supports small to medium farmers to grow fresh fruits and vegetables and really address the food disparities and food deserts that exist in southern area of Dallas, and helping to create an opportunity for community residents to support and engage in cooperative economics. I know she is proud to be on many different boards, but she is most proud of her children, Andre, Amari, and Amani. And so without further ado, let me bring on our guest for tonight, Miss LaShantae Williams. Miss LaShantae, are you here with me? How you doing tonight?
I'm here. Thank you, Eric. Thank you. I'm glad. I'm good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, I know you are extremely busy, so I know you're an hour behind me. So taking time out of your busy schedule with everything that you do, I am really appreciative of it, and really just glad that you have taken some time out to join us on the call tonight to talk a little bit more about the B word, balance. So let's jump right into it. Reading your bio, you were on a fast path as far as the internal audit. I'm sure you could have stayed in corporate America, have done some marvelous things. But what made you transition from corporate America to the MVP lifestyle chef? What made that transition?
Actually, Eric, you know, it's interesting that you asked that question, because the transition actually presented itself while I was there. While I was in corporate America, I had one of those aha moments or awakening moments where I kind of started looking around, looking at my family. And my family at the time, prior to starting my company, I had my great-grandfather and my grandfather were diagnosed with cancer. And through that experience, seeing them go through what they were going through, and then also annually going to family reunions and seeing other family members who were, you know, stricken with different illnesses, from diabetes to high blood pressure, those are some things that kind of made me take a moment to assess what was going on within my family, but most importantly, you know, for me really to figure out what was I doing to my body, and how was I treating my body. So around that time when I was working at Verizon, actually, I just really decided to make a change for me personally, and then also for me knowing that, you know, eventually I wanted to be married, I wanted to have children, and I wanted to have a legacy that you know, something that lived beyond me and my time here on the earth. So I really just started looking at me and how I wanted to affect my life. And then from there, I started just really sharing. I'm at the core, I'm an encourager and someone who, you know, who enjoys pouring into other people. And so when people would see what I was doing with my life, they would see, oh, well, she's not hanging out with us at, you know, when we stop and travel, because, again, I traveled extensively. When everybody else is eating at, you know, the fried chicken places and some of those other places that we would frequent, I would kind of walk the other way, or I'd say, hey, I'm going to have to find, you know, this natural health food place and just buy some food while we're on the road and cook. And they would go, what? You doing what now?
Really,
it was from there, yeah.
Now you say, you know, from seeing family members and going to family reunions and things like that, did you experience, when the transition happened, was it something personal as far as you had gained weight, you had gone through a disease, you know, a time in your life that you had been diagnosed with anything, or was it just a mindset that you say, hey, I just need to change something as far as my legacy is concerned, because I want to be around for a long time? Really, what was the impetus as far as that was concerned, or was there anything besides, you know, being, you know, seeing the family?
Well, in addition to me observing others and, you know, just, I don't know if I have to say it, but just the fact that I was extremely close to my great-grandfather and my grandfather, so that was pretty huge for me to even see them go through it, because it was like I was right there. But then for me personally, when I left home and went to college, I, of course, gained, I did more than the freshman 10. I gained, I think, the freshman 25. So I was pretty, you know, not recognizable when I came home for Christmas. But then also I did have anemia. So I was anemic. Not, you know, again, nothing major, but I knew that some of those things could be gateway things, you know, gaining the weight and, you know, some of those things were, you know, things that I would have to watch. And also, again, because I traveled so much, we ate out. I mean, I ate out probably pretty, you know, pretty much 85% of the time. And so those were, you know, some things that I knew I needed to be aware of. So for me, yeah, it was minor with the anemia and the weight gain. But, yeah, I didn't want it to get out of hand. So I pretty much decided to nip it.
I understand. I got you. Now, when you talk about holistic, I know you talk about mind, body, and soul and really about proper nutrition and everything about that. What do you do as the MVP lifestyle chef, and how does that make such a huge difference? So tell us a little bit more about who the MVP chef is and what the lifestyle coach and what that's all about.
Okay. So just for those of you who are listening also, the MVP part comes from, again, when Eric talked about in my bio, me being an athlete, being around athletes and just knowing that there's a mindset, like you will have an athlete and then you have the athlete who's an MVP that comes in and they make a difference. And those generally are going to be people, they may not necessarily be the fastest runner, they may not be the person who jumps the highest or scores the most points, but they're going to be the person who knows that they have to take care of themselves. So they're going to be the person that gets to, you know, practice early, they stay maybe just a little later, but they do those things that make a difference, and they also encourage those people around them. But before they can, you know, help others, they make sure that they are on a level or grant in, you know, standing in a grounded place. So with the MVP Factor program, what I like to do is kind of pour some of those characteristics or encourage those characteristics into my clients. I work with, you know, women. I work with mothers. I work with, you know, executives and people who are used to doing everything else for everybody else before they do it for themselves. And so what I like to encourage is you have to create rituals or practices where you take time out for yourself in every day. So it's not like, oh, okay, well, I'll take a vacation once a year. Well, if you run your body down to the ground and you only take a week off once a year, then, yeah, that's good. But, it's you know, it's still over time your body is going to start resisting. And so what I encourage my, you know, my clients to do is, you know, the little things, you know, again, waking up in the morning and, you know, having a time where they set aside 10 minutes a day to, you know, to practice gratitude, where you intentionally know, okay, if this is the week that I have to do, I have all of these things to do, I wear all these hats, then I'm going to, you know, at a minimum, make sure that I plan, you know, four out of seven of the meals, you know, meals that I'm going to eat, I have them planned and ready. So, you know, doing those things and making sure, you know, we do things, again, that scheduling time to get pampered. You know, it's just those little things that you have to do to make sure that you're taking care of your body because, you know, we only get one. So that's pretty much
it. And I'm glad that you say, you know, and you know, kind of jumping around, I'm glad that you say taking care and taking time out for yourself. I had Scott on about a month ago, and, you know, Scott is real big into fitness and nutrition and wellness. And I think looking at a lot of people sometimes, LaShante, a lot of people sometimes try to eat right and we eat healthy, but the mind, spirit, the total connection as far as the holistic person, sometimes we forget about. And like you said, it's just the little things that sometimes we don't take care of. Like, hey, go out and pamper yourself and take care of yourself. But most especially, and I speak on this behalf as far as women, most women are taught to nurture for others before they take care of themselves.
Right.
And I see a lot of burnout in a lot of females because they do so much for so many people. I mean, nowadays you have not only are you taking care of your family as far as, you know, your spouse and your children, but you're also taking care of possibly an extended family member or a mother or father or maybe a grandparent that may be, you know, requires care. And a lot of times many women burn themselves out. Now, I look at it from, let's say, a busy female standpoint. Do you think there is such a thing as, and we're talking the B word tonight, do you think there is such a thing as balance, or do you think that we have to find, you know, kind of that time for ourselves during the course of the day? And I say this because a lot of people search for the B word. They search for balance. And to me personally, and you can kind of hold me to this, I don't really think there's such a thing as balance. I think you have to know how to find that time for yourself, because if you ever find balance, and I've always told people this, the person who finds balance, please write the book on it so that, you know, it could be a New York Times bestseller, because there are some days where you're 80-20, there are some days where you're 90-10, there are some days where you're 60-40, but you have to be able to find that time during the course of the day to be able to take care of yourselves. And I think so many times we are never taught that from a very young age. We're taught to be servant leaders, and we take care of everybody else, so that when it does come time for us to take care of ourselves, we don't know how to do that. And just looking from what you do, do you see that there are a lot of busy moms who are looking for balance, but they don't know what that looks like?
Yeah. I agree first and foremost with the fact that I think that actual balance, saying everything is going to be 50-50, or you're always in this zone, is not going to be true. Because even if you think about the earth, there are certain times, you know, of the year when the earth is rotating, or when, you know, when there is not, it's not a true equilibrium. So even if you just go from that, you can see that God didn't really design it like that. But I think what we have to do is we have to learn for, you know, each person has to learn for themselves when the best time is to work, to play, and to fit those things in your life, and to consider your loved ones. But first and foremost is to prioritize yourself. It's not selfish when you prioritize you. You know, it's not. And so without your health and your well-being, you wouldn't really be able to do any of those things that, you know, that you would want to do. So I think we have to be open. We, like you said, we have to be open to it, and we have to, in a sense, almost learn, you know, all over again how to put ourselves first in a loving way, not selfish, conceited, or if that's the word. But you just, it's almost like you just have to find a flow. You know, there's going to be times when, the water is flowing really fast, and then there are going to be times when it's slow. But you have to really know yourself well so that you can fit some of those things in. But, yeah, it's really important to really, again, know yourself.
In today's fast-paced society that we live in, do you think, and you said, you know, you kind of said this, do you think sometimes people think that it is selfish that, hey, if I go out and I take a day off for myself, or if I just disappear for a couple of hours, or I pamper myself, do you think people see that as being wrong? And I say that because if you look at how we're ingrained, those of us that have gone to college, or even if you work in the career world, you're taught work first, and then you're taught almost yourself second. And I think sometimes they get so out of balance as far as that's concerned, because, you know, we look for that proverbial day off, or we look for that proverbial, you know, week vacation, or, you know, I can count on the calendar when I'm going to take this particular day off. And it almost seems like we fought ourselves for taking time out to just recharge. And, I mean, nobody can go that 60, 70, 80 hours a week anymore without burning out, or without, you know, disillusioning somebody, you know, becoming ostracized as far as the family is concerned. And it's one of those things, especially from a career focus, and I'm sure you can look back at and when you had your career for over a decade, if you put career first and then you try to, you know, kind of incorporate the family in there, it's almost like it's hard to do, and you wind up getting frustrated because you're trying to do too much. And I think sometimes when our priorities are out of whack, we don't put family first, you know, you kind of that God, family, and then the career, all of that's out of order, and I don't want to get into that tonight, but you put it out of whack, and you start putting, let's say your career first and money first and then family second, you come home and it's almost you don't even recognize anybody anymore. And I think society has indoctrinated us to say if you're not, you know, let's say you're in corporate America and you go home at 5 o'clock, I look at you kind of with a side eye like, hey, where are you going? You know, we still have work to do. And instead of saying, hey, I've been productive for the day, I've had a great day, I can still, you know, do what I need to do on the back end of the day, but I need to go home and take care of my family and take care of myself. And I think that is something that society, that's a monster that society has created. And I think right now we don't know how to, I won't say necessarily kill the monster, but we don't know how to feed it anymore. It's almost out of control.
Yeah, I was chuckling a little bit because I think I know one word that gets tossed around, and I actually like to flip it and change it just because of my mindset, and that is people talk, you know, sometimes you hear now companies will talk about, you know, work-life balance, or you will hear all the statistics about how in America we don't even really take all the vacations, all the vacation time that we're due. I change it to say not work-life balance, because I don't want people to focus as much on work. I really want you to find a life-work balance and even add in the fun part to it. And, yes, I do think that people have a hard time, you know, taking time to say, oh, well, you know what, I'm going to take today off. It's Wednesday. It might be month end. But I've had a, you know, productive and also maybe some stressful time this month, so I'm going to do that. I was actually blessed with, you know, with the majority of the jobs that I have because I've traveled a lot. Management, you know, saw that when I wasn't traveling, that they would allow things, you know, like working from home or, you know, just taking time to allow you to have time off. So those things are important. I'm always the type of person that will encourage people, hey, if you don't take the time off and something happens to you, trust, they will hire somebody else. As much as they love you, as much of a difference they may tell you that you make on your job, if you're not here, they're going to find somebody else. So rather than put your life on the line for this job, I would encourage you to, you know, take time off and do it on a regular basis, not to where it's something that, you know, you do it just because it's you've almost gotten to your sickness or sick point.
Yeah, and I think one of the things too, and I'm sure you see it with people that you coach and consult, it's almost in our society that busy is the new sexy. And I always tell people, I'm a people watcher, and I don't do it intentionally, but I do it because I don't wear, if you've ever seen me, I don't wear a watch. And I don't wear a watch for a specific reason, because basically time disappears. If you watch a watch, you don't gain time when you look at the watch. Basically, time disappears. So that's just my analogy as far as why I don't wear a watch. I mean, anybody can tell me what time it is. But when you look at it nowadays, we are so, because the quote unquote workplace environment no longer exists. There's you know, there are walls beyond your workplace, and now everybody has the multiple cell phones. So you got your personal cell phone, you got your work cell phone, you got your work computer, you got your home computer. And even when I travel, as far as, and I go in the airport and things like that, I look at people who can't just sit still. You have to, you know, you're always doing something. You got to pull out your laptop. And I think it's one of those things, as soon as you get to 10,000 feet, everybody pulls out their laptop. And I always ask myself, if you're not watching a movie for entertainment, is everybody really this busy? Does work always have to follow you? And it's just extremely enlightening to me that nowadays, what happened before we had all of this? What happened before we had, you know, all the cell phones and all the computer? You had to wait until you got to your next destination, or you had to wait till you got to the office before you finished your assignment. And I think one of the things now that you see a lot of people's lifestyles are changing is because there is no – it's 24 hours in 24 hours, and you can't really unplug. And when you can't unplug, as far as that's concerned, not only does that lead into weight issues that you deal with, but like you said, hey, I've been in meetings where, LaShante, people say, well, we're not going to take a lunch break. And I'm like, hey, we've been an hour. We've been in this meeting for four and a half hours. What y'all mean y'all not going to take a lunch? Now, y'all might not want to take a lunch break, but EB, I'm going to step out and go grab something to eat now. I mean, it's one thing to work through lunch if you brought your lunch, but y'all just going to, you know, just avoid eating lunch altogether. I mean, nobody's that busy. And I think one of the things when you look at it in our society, if you look at it instead of saying, hey, I'm a productive individual, and I can do my work, you know, there is no time limit to how long it takes me to do my work. But I think in our society right now, there's a huge difference as far as being busy and being productive, and that leads into so many different things as far as people's lifestyles are concerned. And you see it, like you say, hey, we go on the road, and I can't find anything to eat as far as that's nutritional value. And I've seen people that I work with, I've been in my career for 14 years, and I've seen people that started out nice and thin that, you know, right now, hey, we're in 2015. If you keep eating from the junk machine and you're drinking 2 and 3 sodas a day, you're wondering why, you know, a decade later, you're almost not that same person. And I think when you look at as far as lifestyle and balance, I think one of the things that we don't do enough is really hire that person if I'm out of balance, if I need coaching. And I think it's one of the things you look at, and you talked about MVP and what an MVP means. When you look at coaching in our society, if you play golf or if you play baseball, if you play basketball, those professionals have coaches. They get paid hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars a year to be able to perform at that level. And I think one of the things that we don't understand in society is that sometimes we may need the need of a coach. And it may not be anything wrong, but I think sometimes people look at the word coach as a failure. Have you ever experienced that as far as when people reach out to you, it's almost like they feel some term of embarrassment that I need a coach to be able to help me as far as, hey, LaShante, I don't know what to cook properly during the course of the week, or I don't know how to eat properly during the course of the week. But have you experienced that as far as from what you've done, people may have some form of reluctancy to reach out to you as far as needing your services?
I think I have not had the piece about the embarrassment piece, but what I will say is I have had the piece where they don't see really where they don't value themselves enough to want to make an investment in themselves. So people will call me, or, you know, people send me inbox messages all the time and ask me, well, how can I do this, or what can I change? And I will, you know, sit down with them and go over the information with them, and they'll be like, oh, I really need that. And this is, but when you tell them, oh, okay, well, this is, you know, I this is my passion, but it's not free, then they don't see the value in themselves. Because, again, I do what I do, I think that the biggest thing is they don't see the value in themselves, and they haven't equated the way that you talk about, you know, athletes having coaches, coaches have coaches. Like, I have a coach. I'm a coach, but I have a coach because I know that I don't know everything. There are some things that I can, you know, that I can improve and change and, in, you know, different ways that I can go about doing things. So I see the value in investing in myself, and a lot of people haven't really been taught, I guess it is, to how to invest in themselves.
So how do you go about as far as education, and not just, let's say, with your services, but if anybody were to let's say, I need a coach, or I wanted to reach out to someone like yourself, a professional like yourself, how do you now start to teach someone the value of themselves? To get, and I say that to get beyond the dollar figure, because it's interesting that you say,
right,
hey, someone inbox you, you give all this information, but at the end of the day, you say, hey, boo, my services aren't for free. You know, I got to still put food on my table as well. And then all of a sudden, people start hemming and hawing, like, oh, you know, I didn't know you cost this much. Well, you know, it's a service. And I think sometimes,
right,
because it's not a tangible, you know, it's not like buying a car or buying a flat screen TV, it's an investment into yourselves, that if you've never been taught how to invest in yourself, how do you see the value of that as far as your return on your investment? So how do you begin now to educate people on, hey, you know, is I'm worth, you know, a cup of coffee and a lunch a day? You know, are you not worth that investment on a daily basis? How do you begin to now change that mindset for an individual to see this as a viable means to an end?
Okay. So really a lot of what I do in terms of educating is just kind of taking time to find out what makes them come alive finding out from them what is it that, what, you know, what's a goal that they have set. So if it's somebody that's coming to me and they're looking to change their nutritional lifestyle, and they may say, well, over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, I've gained, you know, 60, 70 pounds, or maybe they just gained, you know, 40 pounds. But they've gained weight. They can see that they don't have the same energy that they have. I end up asking questions more to the point of, what is it that you, how is this keeping you back from doing what it is that you want to do? You know, are you not able to run with your kids? Are you, you know, not able to attend certain events because you don't feel comfortable anymore wearing what it is that you have to wear? So that's really the kind of the starting point, just getting them to see what the challenge is. And then at the end, it's more or less getting them to see, well, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to get what you've been getting. So then finding out how much do you really want it? You know, you can tell me all day you want to change your lifestyle, but do you really want to change your lifestyle, or do you, is that something that somebody told you that you ought to say? So that's really kind of the way that I've been able to do it, is just really walking people through just a series of questions and really kind of getting to the heart of their why. Why do they want to change?
Got it. Understand. Now, without putting a color over this veil, do you feel that in our community, in the African American community, we don't really take time to plan out as far as health is concerned? Because I am one of the key proponents, LaShante, when people say, well, I don't have the money to eat healthy. I think that you can choose to eat how you want to. And I've seen, absolutely, you know, just working from a culinary standpoint in the African American church pretty much all my life, I've seen us take a piece of chicken that could easily be baked or broiled, and you know, we dip it and we throw it in the hot grease, and we do everything to ourselves. And at the end of the day, you look at us, you know, 50, 60, 70 years later, and like I said, the quality of life is really not that in which we want. How do you now change a mindset of a generation that has always grown up like that? How do you now, as a coach, as an MVP chef, go into a community like the African American community, and you not be called a sellout because you're trying to eat healthy? You know, we all go out to eat, and we eat fried chicken and collard greens and macaroni, but you dip out and you go, you know, over to Smoothie King and grab a smoothie. How do you now try to change the mindset of people who have been kind of ingrained in a certain lifestyle? How does that happen as far as your coaching and your services are concerned?
So one of the tiers that I've been able to use is teaching. So I've had the opportunity at my church, Friendship West Baptist Church in Dallas, to teach a culinary class, a nutrition class, and also show them. So a lot of times I think people don't believe. Like, a lot of people, even if, you know, they may have known me for the last 10 years, and as full disclosure, I and my family are vegetarians. But as a chef, I cook all types of food, you know, I cook food, you know, meat. But a lot of times what I found is I have had to show them, you know, show people. So I've done cooking classes. And I've had people to come back to me. Actually, one of my students in a cooking class actually ended up starting a blog because of the things that I was able to show her. And she, I want to say she's probably lost over, you know, I know it's over 60 pounds. And she decided it's now a journey, you know. And so I think one thing I like to show people, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. If you are, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100 pounds overweight, it's not going to be something that you can change in the next six, you know, the 3 to 6 months. It's possible to make a big dent in it, but it's going to be a journey. And so I do the cooking classes. Today I'm actually working, over the last 8 weeks, I've been doing an after-school culinary arts class where I go in and I teach students. And I have from 4 years old up to, I think, about the seventh or eighth grade. And it's funny, today I was sharing with them and showing them how to make a snack because last week we talked about nutrition and just about, you know, making sure you have a balanced diet and have it full of color and vibrant. But I at the same time, added a Scott piece in there where I talked about the sugars and, you know, the white sugars and getting all that stuff out of their diet. But I also wanted to show them today that they could still have sweet things and desserts. So we actually made a chocolate pudding and made it out of avocado. And so at first they were all like, what? Like, what now? We're going to do what? Yeah, like you just did.
Okay.
So, but when I tell you, if I show you a picture on Facebook of these children licking the, you know, one of the last ones was like, oh, my goodness, I want to have the bowl. Can I have the blender? They wanted the last of it because it was
Got
that
it.
Good. But I just try and show them there's different ways to do things, you know, so you don't have to, like you said, you don't have to have your fried chicken, you know, fried 2 and 3 times, dipped and fried and you don't have to eat the, you know, the collard greens that we cook for 10 days, you know. So really just for me, the biggest thing is just showing them. So I like to get out, you know, get out into the community, teach cooking classes, teach the children, because you will be amazed at, you know, how you can impact families by starting with the kids. So now these children are going home and telling their mom, well, I know how to make this. I know how to prepare, you know, a quick snack. I can make a healthy pizza that, you know, doesn't have all these additives in it. And so those are two of the ways that I do it.
And that's great that you say that. And it's just interesting, you know, me being diabetic for really the last going on 13 years, it's interesting that at first when I was diagnosed, I was under the impression that, Lord have mercy, I'm not going to know what to eat, you know, because you were used to eating so many things that caused this condition. And it was
right.
Very funny, kind of the first time that I just went and walked in the grocery store, how simple it was to just be able to shift as far as the lifestyle change was concerned. Now, it wasn't anything that happened overnight. But like I said, it was
right.
A gradual process, and I think most people don't really kind of think out of that proverbial box that says, hey, I've been doing this for so long. To say, hey, if I just change this, how could it feel? Like I said, the young lady, how would it feel to lose 100 pounds? You know, that's a person. And you've been, you know, I've known people, especially people that I work with, and it's interesting. Sometimes you don't really have to motivate or inspire individuals. If you just walk your walk, people will follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it very interesting. You know, people know that I'm diabetic, and, you know, they mess with me at work. People bring in the sweets and everything. But when they see me, everybody sitting there cutting the red velvet cake, or they eating the cupcakes, or they eating the Krispy Kreme, and I'm eating something healthy, they now start to question themselves. And I've had people
yeah.
even come to me to say, hey, you know, can you – you know, kind of help me out as far as what you do during a daily basis. I mean, I carry around a gallon of water that I drink every day at work, and it sits on my desk, and when I leave work, it usually is empty. And I've seen people who are 2, 3, 4 soda drinkers before noon gradually change as far as their lifestyle is concerned. So you'd be surprised as far as how people will continue to mock you if you're doing the right thing and going in the right direction. Give me a success story of somebody that you've coached, that you've helped make a transition as far as whether it's weight or whether as far as just being in balance and they were out of balance. Give me a success story that you've had as far as somebody that you've coached through MVP Chef and Lifestyle Coaching.
Wow.
You don't have to use names. Now, we don't kind of protect HIPAA, so, you know.
I wouldn't use a name. I'm just trying to think of a couple that that I can use. Well, I can start with one young lady who I coached, and I have various levels. So this particular client was a client who I did what I call a VIP day with. So basically what I did with her was I went through some coaching, you know, talked about what her challenges are, and then we actually went to the grocery store and walked through the aisles because, like you said, a lot of times people think it's harder than it is. And so I was able to show her you know, how to basically shop the grocery store, stay, you know, on the parameters as much as possible or the majority of the time, and even also how to shop in bulk. A lot of people, when you say eat healthy, they will immediately go to that's more expensive. And I always like to tell people that you're either going to pay now or you're going to pay later. I'd much rather pay now. But there's also just other things that you can do that are not as expensive as you think it is. I actually wrote an article once where I showed the difference between what you know, people buy health-wise versus just some other things, and it cost less to prepare that particular meal. So I took her to the store and then prepared within a matter of an hour and a half, prepared three meals for her and with her. And then after that, she called me and was able to tell me that not only had she started to use those and implement those things that we had gone over, but that she had also, within that 2 weeks, had also lost like 10 pounds and had stopped eating out as much. So she was pretty much, for she and her son, they ate out quite a bit. So she was able to reduce that within, you know, really with just that one, you know, half a day, 4 hour coaching session.
Do you find that there, and I know you're kind of biased on this answer, do you find that there is a true correlation between someone who loses weight and a mind, spiritual, body connection? So I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm overweight. Let's say I'm 50, 60 pounds overweight, and I decide to go on to a regimen, and I start to lose weight, and I'm 10, 15, 20 pounds down. Do you now think that opens the gateway to say, hey, this is now something that I've never seen, and it now opens you up to a different experience? Have you seen that from your coaching as far as helping individuals, you know, proper eating, losing nutrition, that is almost a change. It's almost a metamorphosis. You see that caterpillar turn into a butterfly.
Oh, most definitely. And I always I try not to focus as much on you know, of course they want, I primarily want people to look at it from a health standpoint. So we don't do a whole lot of scale, you know, getting on scales and things of that nature. They'll be able to tell the weight that they're losing, just, you know, from different things, the way their clothes fit, the way that they now are able to walk up the stairs without being exhausted versus, you know, it taking them 3 or 4 minutes to get, you know, up a flight of stairs. But, yeah, most definitely, and starting with I always start with really the spiritual side, the side that says, there are certain things that God wants for you in the way that He wants you to live your life, and if you focus on that, then you can definitely open your mind to you know, be in a place where you say, well, if this is not making me feel well and this is not the best for me, then maybe I should, you know, make some changes around it. So yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, I talked about the one client who started the blog after she, you know, started to see some results, started to make some changes in what she was doing and the things that I was sharing and coaching her on. She actually got to the point where she did a blog where she was now opening up and sharing her journey with the world, you know, on her blog.
And that's great. And I see it, you know, like you see yourself, and I see so many people from a transformational standpoint. When people start to lose weight and they start to feel better, it's like a different character comes out that has been trapped for so long inside of this individual. And one of the things you said that's funny, and I laughed at, I am a firm believer in I don't even like scales, because I think scales are such a deterrent as far as your success is concerned. I'll always tell people, you don't understand, and you know, this is another subject, but you don't understand that muscle weighs more than fat. And so you could actually be losing weight, but gain, you know, losing pounds, but gaining weight. And so a lot of people, sometimes you continue to weigh yourself, and I'm weighing myself every other day and I haven't gained any weight. I tell people, get a pair of pant sizes that you want to fit into. And like you said, you'll know when you start losing the inches. You may not have lost any weight. I've known people that have lost, you know, 15 pounds but have gained 20 pounds of muscle. So if you look at it from that standpoint, the scale says you're plus 5. And so it's just a mindset as far as things like that is concerned. Don't have the ability tonight to pull up my questions because my board went out on my computer, so I know some people out there may be asking questions. But when you look at it from a standpoint, we're gonna end as far as balance is concerned. And I always am a believer as far as when you talk, let's say, moms like yourself, moms that are out there, do you think some moms are trying to find balance but don't want to find balance because they use that kind of as that proverbial crutch in life that says, hey, I like to be busy? Because I see a lot of moms, LaShante, that wear that S, that Superman, that Superwoman cape, and it's almost like it's a rite of passage that says, LaShante, if you're not driving yourself crazy, if you're not running your three kids to soccer and football and basketball and baseball and all these Jack and Jill activities and all these social activities and all this, then you're not, you know, you're not doing the right thing. And I think at the end of the day, we look at it, we don't know how to, like you said in the beginning, we don't know how to take time out for ourselves. And when mom gets burnt out and when mom shuts down, it's almost like the family unit shuts down. And I try to tell so many moms in today's society, like you said, with your coaching, you have to take care of yourself first. And, I mean, if that means we got to eat McDonald's tonight, then we just got to eat McDonald's tonight. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, hopefully we're not going to eat McDonald's 7 days a week. But it's just one of those things that I think sometimes we don't take care of the person that when you shut down, you're like the power plant. So mom is considered the power plant that everybody thrives off of. And when the power plant shuts down, then everything shuts down. How do you, if you were to give a piece of advice to a busy mom like yourself out there, how to take care of themselves, what would you suggest that they do? How would they start? If I don't have any blueprint or any roadmap of how to start to take care of myself, what would you begin to suggest first?
So the first thing I would do is I would say you have 10 to 15 minutes that you can exercise, you can meditate, or you can do some type of maybe mirror work or something that to remind yourself that, one, to tell yourself that you love yourself. And if that's something that you really don't love yourself, then that's definitely where you want to start. And then I would also say that we have to, one, find, if you, when you find your purpose, that will also help you to see that some of the other stuff, some of the things that you talked about, the busyness, is all, you know, for naught. So when you know your purpose, then you'll know when somebody is about to cross that line with you, or your boundary that you have set, you'll be able to know, oh, okay, no, I can't do that. It's outside of my, you know, it's way outside of my purpose. So if I was, you know, kind of to give an example, one of my girlfriends was sharing with me, you know, when you look at business, and she's like, okay, LaShante, this is your business. These are your core things that you want to do. So when somebody calls you and they say, hey, LaShante, I know you're a health person. Can you come and do this health fair? If that's not one of the core things that you do, then that's how you know, okay, that's how you can say no. And I think a lot of times we have a problem saying no. That kind of basically is how we end up getting so busy, because we want to be, like you said, the superwoman. We want to be everybody's everything, and we're not created to be everybody's everything. So I think finding that 10 to 15 minutes every day to do something for yourself, whether it be, you know, exercise or meditation, and then also knowing when to say no.
And it's funny that you say that. I think that is, for a lot of moms, I think that's the hardest word in the English language is no. and it sounds so harmful, but it's very harmless.
Yeah.
And so many times, you can only have so much on your plate before things start to fall off. And then when things start to fall off, a lot of times I think from a proverbial standpoint, a lot of the wrong things fall off. You've committed to so many social and civic and sorority activities that now the things that start to fall off are family time, or time for yourself. Like you said, you know, you can't find time out for yourself. Well, you can't find time out for yourself because you're overcommitted. And I think one of the things in our society, it's okay, like you said, it's okay to say no. I may not be able to take on this project right now because this may be a season in my life, but I'll maybe pick it up if you have the opportunity next year. If things change, I can pick the thing up next year. So definitely I appreciate you taking time out. I know it is. I know you're still on the grind out there in Dallas, and you still got things to do on a Wednesday night, and the kids probably looking for you and wondering why you probably hiding out in the closet or doing whatever you've been doing for the last 50 minutes. But I am appreciative of taking time out to talk about balance and lifestyle and MVP chef and lifestyle coaching. If somebody wanted to get at you, how would I go about getting at you? Your website, phone number, what's the easiest way to get in touch with you for more information?
Yeah, the easiest way would either be to email me at LaShante@LaShanteWilliams.com, and that's LaShante@LaShanteWilliams.com, or they can call me at 214-766-2773. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and Periscope sometimes.
Wonderful. So, like I say, if you only called me tonight and you have dialed in the queue, I apologize. The computer sometimes acts up and it doesn't want to allow me to do what it does. But we're appreciative of LaShante taking time out of her schedule. Like I said, we'll understand a little bit more about MVP Chef, lifestyle coaching. And if you are in that season of your life right now where you need a coach and you want to reach out to somebody, maybe LaShante may be a little bit too far away out in the Dallas area, but if you or local or wherever you are, reach out to somebody as far as the investment in yourself. And you are a huge commodity. And spending a few dollars on a daily basis to invest in yourself, to get someone to kind of train you, to go in the right direction as far as coaching is concerned, you'd be surprised at what a difference it will make as far as your lifestyle is concerned. So, LaShante, appreciative of you. Thank you very much. Apologize wasn't able to catch up with you a couple of weeks at FAMU's homecoming, but you know it's only one EB, and I was out of balance that weekend. I tell you the truth, I was out of balance that weekend, but that's neither here nor there. So appreciate everything, and we'll catch up next time. For those of you, always thank you for joining me on What You're Waiting For Wednesdays with EB. Make sure, like I said, you join my other host on Sunday night, Miss Gina, on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Join Coach on with Underground Chop Shop at 8 o'clock on Monday night, and then Tuesday night, Coach and Gina get together at 7:30 for Coach to Coach. And once again, you always find yourself with me on What You're Waiting For Wednesdays with EB here at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. We're going to leave you out with a little Frankie Beverly and Maze tonight. We're going to ride out for a few minutes, and once again, you all take care. Have a great rest of your week. Understand that Thursday is the first cousin of Friday. Have a great weekend. Take care, everyone. God bless and good night.